Heavenly Father, we come to you today on Christmas Eve to celebrate the birth of your Son, the Savior of the world. Let us never take that lightly, but Christ did on our behalf down on earth. Thank you for the seed in the manger. Thank you for the lowly birth of the humble servant and the exalted King. As we take this time to worship you through the gift of offering, Father, let our hearts be right. Give us of our sins. Let us give a pure and clean heart, Father. We love you and thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
The bells are ringing. We thank you for peace in you and my mind. We pray that you understand this. It's a peace that passes understanding. Forget that.
We're never going to understand it, Lord.
We thank you for this. We can't see it. It's something that comes from you, Lord.
And we thank you for being our hope, joy, faith, and peace.
And that it can never be taken anymore.
We thank you for
your nearness and your name. Amen.
Scripture, says that you sent your Son into this world for peace. Father, my prayer is that we, as we open your word this morning, we see that peace is available. Peace is something that is offered to us. It's offered to us individually and in our souls and our heart and forgiveness of sins. But Father, I believe with everything in me that peace is also offered to this chaotic and evil world. So Father, I pray that you are with us this morning as we look inside of your word. In your Son's sake we pray. Amen. So years ago, I remember the day that I realized the world was not at peace. It was in October 2012, and my daughter immediately looks up because that was the month of her birth. We just got home from the hospital with my daughter Avery, and you know that moment when you bring your child home and you're just afraid. If you'll remember back when you brought your first child home and buckling them up in the car, it just feels weird. And you get them home and you just don't know, like, what do I do with this thing? And that's the way I felt. Like, is this real life? Avery's now in the house with me. I was a dad and I had no clue what it was that I was to do. Now my wife, she needed her rest when we first got home. My wife was a trooper. She had a very long delivery, and which wound up in an emergency C-section. And so it just was no fun. And so I was giving her rest, and I was sitting there with my daughter, and I didn't know what to do. So what do, Dad? You just put your child on your lap and let them, hopefully they go to sleep. And so I was sitting there in this moment with Avery across my chest. She was tiny, precious, silent, and laid there on my chest and just slept. And in that moment, everything was quiet. Everything was still. Everything at that moment in that room was at peace. Even my dog usually goes nuts. It was, everything was at peace in that moment. Except my heart. My daughter was laying there and my heart was just racing because I was filled with thoughts. This world is not at peace. My daughter has just come into a world. This is peaceful. This moment is beautiful and peaceful. But my daughter has just come into a world that is far from peace. And the peacefulness of that moment, it collided with my knowledge of a chaotic and evil world. And my baby girl, my precious daughter that had just been born, was born into a dangerous world. This world is not at peace yet. This world is not at peace yet. We don't have to search very far and find evil. The Bible warns us in Genesis 6:5, it says, "The Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously." Great wickedness on earth is what the Bible says. Continuously evil thoughts. Church, this was the world that my daughter had come into. This is the world that you and I came into. This is also the world that we're told that Jesus came into. Christ stepped into our wickedness. Christ stepped into our evil. He stepped into our chaos. Church, Christ has come to bring this world peace. Last week we were in Luke chapter 2. And the angels were talking to the shepherds. And in verse 2, they said this, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." The angels at his birth, announcing the birth of Christ, they're telling the shepherds that this Christ has come to bring peace. Now look at our passage today. We're in John chapter 20, 19 through 21. I want to give you some context so you can understand what's going on in this chapter. If we go one chapter earlier, John chapter 19, we read about Jesus' death. In John chapter 19, Jesus is hung on a tree. He's hung on the cross. His side is pierced. He's buried in a tomb. So now in John chapter 20, where we are today, we read that he is resurrected from the dead. In last week's chapter, Jesus was being born. In this week's chapter, Jesus is being brought back to life. In last week's chapter, the birth of Jesus was being announced. And in this week's chapter, the resurrection of Jesus was being announced. In last week's chapter, angels assured the shepherds of peace. And in this week's chapter, Jesus assured his disciples of peace. So according to John, the first thing that we're told about the birth of Jesus was also the first thing that we were told about Jesus after his resurrection. Jesus came here to bring peace. So the first thing that I want you to see in our passage this morning is that Jesus, the peace that he brings is an unlikely peace. It's an unlikely peace. Look at verse 19. If you've got your Bibles open, look at verse 19 with me. It says, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. So I want you to think about this scene. I want you to think about what is written here in John. Why in the world would John include this detail about the doors being locked? Why would he just, and if you're going to give a story and, you know, you can't tell every detail, but here in this story, he tells us that the doors are locked. This doesn't seem like an important detail, but I think it is. These disciples, they locked the door because they were afraid of the Jews that were in the area. And it's likely that the door to this house was not some small door. It's likely that this door wasn't just locked like you and I would lock our house. More than likely, it was a beam that went across the door. So you can think of it more of like a barricade to the house. The door was really kind of barricaded. And so it was highly unlikely that anyone would get in through this locked door. The disciples are all in there, and then all of a sudden, Jesus shows up. He just pops in, just standing around like the rest of them. Jesus appears inside of the room with them. I want you to notice, Jesus doesn't knock on this door. Jesus doesn't pick the lock. He doesn't bust in into this barricaded and locked door. Don't you know, at that moment, when they saw Jesus, they were startled. They were shocked by what they saw. That this Jesus is standing here. How in the world did this Jesus get here? So it was unlikely that anyone would be able to get past this locked door. But Jesus did. Jesus got in past this locked door. How unlikely does it seem? I want you to think for just a second. It's unlikely that Jesus is, or anyone, is going to be able to get in through that locked door. It's unlikely. How unlikely does it seem to you that there will ever be peace on earth? Does that seem unlikely? Do you think that there will ever be peace on earth? Let me read some things to you. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill towards men. A thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh hear the angels' voices. O night divine, O night when Christ was born. God rest you, merry gentlemen. Let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. O tidings of comfort and joy. Hark the herald, angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth. Mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise. Join the triumphs of the skies. With angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. For lo, the days are hastening on, my prophets are foretold. When with the ever-circling years comes round the age of gold, when peace shall over all the earth its ancient splendor fling, and the whole world give back the song which now the angels sing. It's during this time of year that we sing these songs of hope and peace and joy. These songs have us proclaiming God's word, not only in our hearts, but also inside of our world. Church, I want you to hear this. God did not just come to this earth to bring us salvation. Yes, he did come to bring us salvation. He came to seek and save the lost. But he also came for this dying world. He came to bring light into darkness. He came to fix this broken world. He came here to bring peace, real peace, inside of chaos. If you know this, I want to prove what I just said to you. If you know this, say it with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We'll just stop right there. What was that last part? On earth as it is in heaven. Church, let me ask you, do you think heaven is chaotic? No, I don't think heaven is chaotic. Do you think there is peace in heaven? I believe there is. There's real peace in heaven. And Jesus prayed right here that the peace that is in heaven, as it is in heaven, that peace that is in heaven, he says, I want that peace on earth. That's what Jesus is praying here. Now, you're going to hear many people say, well, you know, the world is just getting worse and worse. The world is just getting so bad it's going to continue to fall apart. Nothing is going to get better until Christ returns. Church, I want to say this. The Christmas songs that we sing, they don't believe that. The Christmas songs that we sing have real hope for this world. Christmas songs that we sing say this: God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Too many people today have this belief that things are just going to continue to get worse and worse. And I want to submit to you this morning, if that is true, then why bother with any of it? If that is true, then why share the gospel? Why would we do it? I want to share with you this morning that I believe that the prayer that Jesus prayed was a real prayer. It was the prayer that he taught us how to pray. And it is a right and good prayer for us to pray. And I don't think that Jesus ever prayed bad prayers. Do you? No, I don't. I also think that Jesus gets what he asks of the Father. Amen? And Jesus prayed, God, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Luke 19 records this triumphal entry. And if you remember this scene, Jesus is on a donkey and he's riding into the city. And as he comes into the city, the people were praising him. And this is what they said. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And then we have verses like Isaiah 9 that says Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And the Bible teaches us that this King came to bring peace on earth. This King came here to bring what was in heaven to earth. Question to you this morning is, do you believe that? Does peace on earth to you seem unlikely? I think it does. If you've got your Bible, and you will, turn with me to Psalm 110:1. Psalm 110:1. Raven said he was going to preach. Psalm 110:1. I want you to see this with me. This is an extremely, extremely important verse inside of the Bible. And I know I say that a lot, but guys, this is true. This is a very important verse inside of the Bible. So I want you to read it. As I read it, I want you to see what it says. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. So if you look at this verse, there's two Lords here. The first Lord in this is capitalized. This is Yahweh. This is reserved for God the Father. And the second Lord here is lowercase. This is a lowercase Lord. And this is talking about the earthly king. It's referring to David's line, David's kingly line. And it says he will remain king or Lord until. So the Lord in this verse will remain king for a long time until this Lord's enemies are his footstool. So what does this mean? What does it mean to be a footstool? What is a footstool? And the imagery in this verse is really, really neat. And I want you to just picture this. Now, this is so beautiful right here at Christmas time. The imagery here is back in ancient times when nations would go to war, it would often happen that the victorious king would command that the defeated king would be brought to him and sit right before him. And the defeated enemy would bow down before the victorious king. And the victorious king would rest his feet on top of the defeated king. He would put his feet, almost like an ottoman, he'd kick his feet up onto the defeated king. And this showed everyone in the kingdom that the enemy had been defeated. That's the point. The enemy had become the footstool. Now, where does this verse say this Lord will be seated? At the right hand of the Father. Right hand of Yahweh. Church, this is a simple question. Where is Jesus right now? The right hand of the Father. Jesus is right there. Do you ever wonder what's going on in the world? What is it that God is doing inside of this world? What is it that God is at work doing? I want you to hear this. God the Father right now is at work defeating the enemies of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of the church. That's what's happening. I want to repeat that again. God the Father right now is defeating the enemies of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of this church. That's what God is doing inside of this world. And in one glorious day, the enemies of Christ will fully be defeated and they will serve as a footstool for our Savior. This is why what we do inside of this church is so important, church. When we meet together, when we strengthen each other, when we encourage each other, we are making Christ's enemies his footstool. That's what the Bible tells us. Psalm 110:1, this is a small verse. This may be one of those verses that you just read past and you don't think a whole lot about. This may be the first time that you've ever heard this verse. But I want you to hear this. Did you know that Psalm 110:1 is the most quoted verse from the Old Testament in the New Testament? It's the most quoted verse. There's no other verse in the Old Testament that is talked about by the authors of the New Testament more. Matthew 22, 26, Mark 12, Luke 20, Acts 2, 1 Corinthians 15, Ephesians 1, Colossians 3, Hebrews 1, 2, 8, 10, 12, 1 Peter, and a bunch of other places where it's referenced. The New Testament authors, they referred back to this verse more than any other verse in the Old Testament. And in my estimation, that means that verse is pretty important, right? It's an important verse for us. Church, this is kind of the theme of the whole New Testament. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father until the church makes his enemies his footstools. Now, you and I look around the world, and we say, well, where is this victory? Where is this victory that the Bible is talking about? Where is this peace that it promises us? Because there's no way, Pastor, have you looked around, have you turned on CNN or Fox News? Does it look peaceful? Peace seems really unlikely, doesn't it? So, church, the story that you just saw just a second ago, you just read about, it tells us that the Savior walks through locked doors. Our Savior does the impossible. He does the unlikely. He does the things that are hard for us to believe. The Bible teaches us that he will defeat his enemies fully and completely. Jesus will defeat his enemies, and there will be peace. Amen? You sing about this, church. And so often the church loses sight of this. And I truly believe this is part of the fuel for what we do here, is to remember that Jesus is about bringing peace in this world, and he's using you to do it. We cannot forget that. We cannot lose sight of all the, because of all the ugliness in the world. God is at work. He is not dead, and he's not asleep. He's alive inside of his church. Christ's desire is to bring peace. We look back at John 20, verse 20. Now in verse 19, it says that Jesus is standing there, and the first thing that he says after his resurrection, the first thing that is recorded after his resurrection, Jesus says here, is peace be with you. And in verse 20, it says, and when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. He says, peace be with you. And he shows them his hands and his side. Church, I want you to hear this. Because I think this is just a powerful thought. The reason why Jesus showed them his hands and his side is to show them, I bought your peace. I purchased your peace. Think about this scene. Jesus wishes peace upon them and then immediately shows them his wounds. Jesus was showing them, your peace is secure. Your peace has been purchased. It's as sure as my resurrection. Jesus, follow me on this. Jesus was born to bring peace. Jesus died on the cross to purchase our peace. And Jesus came back to life. He resurrected to secure our peace. He was born to bring peace. He died to purchase our peace. And he resurrected and came back to secure our peace. And I want you to hear how Colossians 1 says this. It says, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether, follow this, whether on earth or in heaven, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. I want you to think about what that amazing verse just told us. That the blood of Jesus reconciles all things in heaven or on earth. The blood of Jesus will bring peace on this earth. And the blood of Jesus can make peace between you and God. The death of Jesus, it fixes everything, horizontally and vertically. Jesus fixed everything on the cross. Romans 5:10 says, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more. Now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Guys, before being saved, every single one of us was an enemy of God. That's what the Bible teaches. Every single one of us was an enemy of God. But Jesus brought peace into our relationship with God. Because of Jesus, I'm no longer an enemy of God. The question this morning for you is, are you at peace with your God? Are you still an enemy with the Father? Have your sins been forgiven? Have you trusted in this Jesus to bring you peace? Or will one day you become a footstool for this King? My prayer is that you come to Christ, because church, your peace has already been purchased. That's why Jesus showed his hands and his side. That peace has been purchased. If you look at the final verse in our passage, verse 21, it says, Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." The Father sent Jesus into the world to bring peace, and now Jesus is telling us that he is sending us. Church, we are being sent into this world to spread a message of peace. You know, sharing good news is actually kind of easy. Sharing good news is easy. I want you to think about it. When was the last time you went to a restaurant that was really, really good, and you just wanted to tell somebody, just in casual conversation, it just spills out, "Hey, have you tried that new place? It was awesome. It was great." You love sharing good news when it's about that, right? Or when was the last time you saw a movie and something inside of the movie just moved you? And again, in casual conversation, when you're talking with somebody, you just say, "Hey, have you seen that new movie? Man, you gotta go see it. You gotta go see it. It's great." We are wired to want to share good news with people that we love. We're just wired that way. We want to share good news. So why is it that it is more natural for us to promote a new restaurant or a new movie that's out than it is for us to promote the peace of our Savior? It's more natural for us to talk about a restaurant and a movie than it is for us to talk about the Savior who came to save our souls. I think many times we promote a restaurant or a movie right after we experience, because it's fresh on our minds. The goodness of what you tasted was still on your lips. And the way that a movie just moved you is still at work within you. Just for a second, I want to talk to just the Christians in here, just the believers in here. Guys, we only promote things that we're excited about. We only promote and talk about things with people that we love, that we are excited about, and things that are fresh within us. And guys, the reason we come to church every Sunday is so that our love for Christ and each other can stay fresh. The excitement over our Savior, it can be renewed every week. And this is why every one of us, this is something that we should come in here and expecting that we can be renewed in our relationship with Christ every single week. And guys, I'm going to tell you, this is not a decision you make once you're here. That is not a decision to be renewed once you have a seat. This is a decision you make long before you get in the car to even come to church. Inside of this place, you're looking for refreshing word to be poured over you. You're looking to be renewed by the Holy Spirit. You're longing for that you're wanting that. And that's a decision that's made before you come here. Because church, what happens inside of this building is important. This is the fuel for the mission that God has given to you. So, we'll only talk about and promote things that we're excited about or that are fresh on us. So let me ask you, are you excited about your church? Are you excited about your Savior? Is your excitement about your church and is your excitement about your Savior, is it fresh upon you? You and I are not left on the Passover. Jesus has given us a mission. This mission is for us to spread this message of peace. We're not left here on this planet just to talk about the good news of a restaurant or a movie. We've got something much, much better to talk about. And that's Jesus Christ. If you're saved here this morning, and you are unashamed of your relationship with Jesus Christ, I want you to repeat this after me. I have been sent by Jesus.
I have been sent by Jesus.
Now, I know you said that for me that time, because I just asked you to do it. This time I want you to say it for you, where you believe the words that are coming out of your mouth. I have been sent by Jesus. You have a mission, church. Jesus came in there and he says, peace be with you. The Father has sent me to you to proclaim peace. And now I am sending you. I hope you all believe that this morning. Because the hope of your families, the hope of your Christian life, the hope of this church and this community lies in whether you believe that or not. Have you been sent? Avery, it's been 11 years since I held you that night. You're a lot different now than you were back then. You slept so still. Everything was at peace. And I would love, I know parents, those of you that are in here and you've seen your little one grow up, man, you just want to go back to that day, don't you? Just want to go back to that day when you can hold them and it's quiet, they're not yelling. Now you're older. As much as I would love for you to crawl up on my lap and rest with me, I would much rather you find your rest in Jesus Christ. I would much rather you find your peace in Jesus Christ. The greatest need for your sin, or for you and your sins, and the sins of everyone in here, the greatest need that you have is that the peace of Christ comes and cleanses you of all of your sins. The greatest gift that we can receive isn't wrapped this year in pretty paper. It's not found on an Amazon wish list. Walmart doesn't sell it. It's not under a tree. But church, one day it was nailed to a tree. The greatest gift that you and I can receive was what Jesus did on the cross, because he loved you and wanted to bring you peace. If your heart is troubled this morning, realize that Christ came. Christ came for your peace. Pray this morning that you know that there can be peace in this world, there can be peace in your hearts, because Jesus Christ purchased it for you. Your peace has been purchased by Jesus Christ. This Christmas we want, here at Well Lesson, we want this to be a very special Christmas. We want you all to remember the service, the time. We want you to be reminded that this baby Jesus, he grew up, he didn't stay in a manger. He lived a perfect and sinless life. And after 33 years, he gave it up for you. And so here in a few minutes, we're going to be taking the Lord's Supper together. This is a gorgeous symbol of why we celebrate Christmas. That this child, Jesus, came to die so that we might live. So what's going to happen here in a few minutes is very important for all of us. Very important for this church. But it's going to be very different this morning. So instead of us coming to you this morning, you're going to be coming to the table. We're going to ask that all of you, when we take the Lord's Supper, you come down this aisle right here and come down through here and kind of line up. And when you come to this side of the table first, the bread, which represents the body of Christ. Then we're going to come to this side over here, which is the cup, which represents the blood of Christ. And then there's going to be a trash can. You can drop the cup in the trash can here. And as you are done, grab your candle. And then once you have grabbed your candle, make your way around the room. We're going to try and create like a little circle so that we can do the candle lighting in here. We're going to have the Advent reading, so make sure that you just wait for that. That's going to happen before the candle lighting. So if you have any needs or if you would like some help, there's going to be deacons around the room looking to help you out. If you need to sit down during this time, you can sit down in these front rows up here. We've got the chairs for you. We've got some chairs right up here against the wall as well. Just kind of make a circle with the candles. You do not have to be a member of Waleska First Baptist Church to take the Lord's Supper, but we do ask that you're certain of your salvation. One of the songs that we sing a lot during Christmas is, "O Come All Ye Faithful." But you know, too often, I don't really feel worthy to come. I don't know if you have that issue, but sometimes I just don't feel worthy at this table. I don't feel faithful. And I definitely don't always feel joyful and triumphant in my life, right? Things happen. Church, the more and more I read the Bible, the more I realize that Jesus did not come here for people who had it all together. Jesus didn't come to this earth for people who had it all together. Jesus came here for the people that knew they didn't have it all together, that recognized their sins and their deep, deep need for Jesus. That's why he came. So this morning, as you come to this table, I want you to bring two things with you. Only two things that I want you to bring with you to this table. One, I want you to bring a deep knowledge of your sin. I want you to bring this recognition of your sin. And the second thing that I want you to bring is a joy that is unspeakable. Christ has come and forgiven you. The song that we're going to be playing here in just a second is Paul. "O come all ye unfaithful." Come all ye unfaithful. Don't tune this song out just because it's different. The lyrics are, it'll sound the same. The lyrics are different. Please allow this song to minister to you this morning. Take a few minutes and reflect and ask the Lord to reveal what's going on.
Come, you unfaithful. Christ, the Lord. Christ as God. Christ as God. Into our darkness bring us light. Into our despair bring us hope. Into our chaos bring us peace. Christ has come for us to be. Where in this world can we find peace? Where can we find rest? The world seems to be filled with trust, pride, and violence. Hatred and aggression seems to be a different world. It feels like all of humanity just can't live. In the middle of our chaos, fourth week of Advent, the light began with peace. Peace Jesus offers us to me. Christ offers peace to me, but also peace to God and to me. Jesus came to reconcile our broken relationships with each other and with the Father in heaven. Sin has destroyed our peace. The only Jesus can restore. Christmas reminds us that Jesus came to calm our days.
Let us pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the peace your Son offers to us. Teach us to appreciate and live in the peace only He can offer. Forgive us if we exchange the peace Christ offers to us for the hostility and chaos in the world provides to us. May we, your church, learn to pursue peace among each other so that the gospel can flourish in this place. Thank you for the peace you gave to us through the blood of your Son.
lights light up this room. My prayer is the light of Christ lights up your homes this Christmas season, this Christmas day, tomorrow. May the love of the Lord be with every single one of you. As you leave, there's little hands real close to the door, on both sides of the door. You can turn out your lights, pull out your lights, and put the candles in there as you exit the church tomorrow. Remember, Christ has come for you. May the Lord be with you this morning.
Thank you. Thanksgiving, and it's just been, I thought I was getting better, and we took a trip to Indiana for graduation, and it's like 2 days. Oh, that's what these are for.
That makes sense.
We all were calling around, we're like, so we're still doing Christmas? Yeah, everybody's still doing it. And we're like, you know, we're going to share all our dirt. I mean, we're all sick anyways. It's like...
More. I didn't pay attention to the script when it was later.
Oh, yeah, there's a couple more. I wouldn't get them.